Hey everybody, welcome back to the Spin Rack. I'm here with my, I would say my boys, but I'm having second thoughts about them. But hey, the two guests I have, Cal and Petey, say what's up, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Ready to rock.
Yeah, so hey, you guys all heard the news. Fantastic Four. I don't know what's going on, but Marvel's finally decided they wanted to do this movie. They're bringing it in. Pedro Pascal is going to be Mr. Fantastic. Vanessa Kirby is going to be Sue. And the other two, who knows what's going to happen with them. Let's get straight into it. Let's see if there's any chance this movie is going to be a success. I'm talking to two Fantastic Four
You gonna
lovers.
watch this thing on blurb on this from the Hollywood
Oh, put it
Reporter?
on. Yo, select the play it then.
The cast of Fantastic Four has finally been revealed. After years of speculation of who will take on the famous superhero characters, Marvel announced that Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Eben Moss-Bachrach and Joseph Quinn will star in the highly anticipated new feature. Pascal was previously reported to star as Reed Richards slash Mr. Fantastic, while the others had been heavily.
Yeah, I knew it was going to act up.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
So, I mean, clearly Pedro Pascal, he is Disney's go-to guy. He is the guy who does it all. He's the Mandalorian. He's in Last of Us. He's in Narcos. You call it, you know, he's our man from Game of Thrones. Without a doubt, he's a man who can step into anything and make it successful. But the question is,
He's every man. He can
who
be
is,
anybody.
you know, originally we thought it was going to be Krasinski, but unfortunately, even though fans wanted that, they chose Pedro Pascal. Not to knock Pedro, love him in all his roles, but you know, the question is, can anybody revive this dead franchise? So I'm kicking this over to Cal. Cal, tell me what your thoughts are.
Oh my God! What? I don't understand. What is the antipathy that you have for the Fantastic Four? The Fantastic Four is not a dead franchise. The Fantastic Four was a successful franchise before any of these other Marvel movies even got off the ground. Okay, you had one movie, you had one film that, to be quite honest, should have never been made. I don't know why they decided to do it. Sorry, Michael B. Jordan and company, should have never done it with you people, and that was it.
What do you
And
mean,
then.
you people?
Who you calling you people? Oh,
I hear that a
Why did
lot
they come
these
over
days.
there
Like you
and
can't.
stop you out?
I don't know when that became the latest thing. It was like you people, like, huh? You get a lot of reactions for that these days. But all the stuff with the Fantastic Four, all the characters, the storylines, you know, they're mining it. They mine it almost for every single Marvel movie. There's a Kree in there. There's a Skrull in there. There's the Celestials in there. All of these things are just being taken out of the Fantastic Four. Okay, you know where they're thinking. Oh, well, now Kang isn't going to work. But since Kang isn't going to work, hey, you know what we'll do? I'm bringing Doctor Doom. No, we're bringing God Doom or something of that nature. So, you know, the first 100 issues. Actually, I can't even say the first 100 issues. But you know, like maybe the first 400 issues of the Fantastic Four. I mean, even with the TVA, it's just rife with stuff. It's just rife with stuff. We're like, okay, we can take some of this, we can take some of that, but the hesitancy has been to use the Fantastic Four. Not because there's anything wrong with them, but because they understand they have to get it right. The Fantastic Four is one of the most important. Without the Fantastic Four, we don't have the Marvel Universe. Okay, we don't have the Marvel Universe. If we did not have Fantastic Four number one, we're not sitting in theaters today. Thrilling to all of these adventures of these other characters because the Fantastic Four is what put Marvel Comics on the map. As much as I love Rawhide Kid, it was the Fantastic Four that did it. And so they understand you've got to get this right because if you don't get it right, all the rest of the stuff that's over there is pretty much just going to be deconstructed and they're going to parcel it off to these other characters. And the Fantastic Four hasn't been gotten right in comics. Because these guys do not want to tack to what the do not want to tack what the Fantastic Four is supposed to be. Okay, it's a family of adventurers, regardless of the fact that they have superpowers. So we'll see what they do.
If it was lost in space, it should be lost on Earth, then, right? So, Petey, what's your take on this?
I'm not necessarily with the casting. I think so now I'm just hoping that they somehow get
The
the
other.
thing. I hope that they get the thing right because this is the hardest thing to do. And when you get caught
Oh,
up, when
yes.
you're trying to make the unibrow work, that or not work in any of the instances, or having them be too muscular like the way they had it in, I guess, the other two FF movies, like try to capture the monster aspect and try not to, you know, you can have the humor come out of Ben Grimm, but not have him be like too goofy. Because there's a lot of the bits, so you can see in those first two FF movies, they just didn't really capture the full look, and they kind of went, they kind of fixed it so he was accepted because he had a, you know, the hot, you know, he had Kerry Washington, so it's kind of hard to be struggling when you're already dating Kerry Washington. That's why Stanley and Jack Kirby, when they brought in Alicia Masters, it would be turned into another issue where she struggled with Ben Grimm in his human form. So just having these elements, it was stuff that was never done before, like taking the Beauty and the Beast and kind of reversing like a lot of cliches. So they were doing a lot of fun stuff. I'm not sure about this logo, but at the same time, you know, and Pedro going in there. So it was a lot, it's hoping that they can get it. And the way they did Spider-Man, they kind of made it into like a little more easier to kind of digest. So I'm hoping they're not trying to make this any easier to digest than the first two movies, because those were kind of light versions of the FF. And you're trying to get to those early issues, but having the cosmic of the greatest comics that were ever done from like 45 to like 70 of the Fantastic Four. You want to get that early period where it was a lot rougher, and that's what captured the audience, because it was nothing like the Justice League or the Challengers. It was like these people bickering. I mean, it wasn't, it's in novels, I think, what was it, I always go to the Lost, was it the Lost Horizon, where you kind of had that kind of all these different personalities, but Stan Lee really getting the bickering in. You hadn't seen that in Kirby's work before that. So you know, they were just the, before that, a lot of superhero characters were men of action. So, but a lot of bickering goes along. So I'm just hoping this thing works out, and they really now only can try to hope that, you know, roll the dice and hope they do a good design for the thing. And hopefully they do some decent designs for the costumes. And but the hard part is the cast for the thing, the cast for the person as Ben Grimm, that's more off than Pedro Pascal. Pedro Pascal is just too recognizable as a person, and is not really the read that I would think he should be, but they're going for making sure this sells. So they're like saying, hey, Pedro's going to make sure we sell this thing. He's the hot property. And Vanessa Kirby's been in a bunch of good things, so she's going to be our Sue. And these other guys are known. Like, so we've got this guy who complains a lot in The Bear, I think that's what it's called. So he'll be our Ben Grimm. He'll be our negative like Ben Grimm type of character. But it's like not like Ben Grimm is like, you know, it's like a, you know, he's more like the football player type of deal. Like a not, I don't want to say Gronk, but like take pull back Gronk a little, like not as big as Gronk, but that kind of type of person, like a football player. So it'll be a good, not a too, because I don't think Ben Grimm was actually taller than Reed, but he was still a football player. But Reed is pretty tall. He's like six something. So you got to think of that aspect. And I don't get football player from this other guy. So.
Petey, what do you think of this in Cal too? Either one of you guys can chime in. It seems to have like a retro look. I mean, take a look at the Marvel, the way they have the Marvel.
No, I agree.
You know, this is like something that was done back in the 60s, stuff like that. Fantastic. And then you have, whoa, and then you have the sweater look. This is nothing like their current costumes, you know, which are much more sleeker than what it is. And these white boots, Jesus. I mean, come on. This is definitely looks like a throwback. So the question is, do you think they're going to put this back in time or something like that? I mean, the furniture, this all gives that vibe, you know. I don't know why they would do it. They didn't want to give a hint like, hey, this may be something that's pushed back into the past.
Everyone who talks about, not I don't not us, we haven't really talked about it, but a lot of people, friends of mine, they all say to explain why we haven't seen them, or to explain to make them work, say they can only work in the 60s, right? Even though Iron Man is a Cold War character, like, you know, the Hulk especially, all these popular characters are from the period, and they're being in present day, and the FF have been successful in the present day. And I don't even have to go to my favorite period. You can go to the Jonathan Hickman Fantastic Four, you can go to the Mark Waid Fantastic Four. they've had many successful periods outside of my favorite period. So I don't know why everyone says they have to go back into the past because we're going to catch, like, it would be fun, but at the same time, you're going to have some idiot go in there and have some sort of, you know, male chauvinist aspect to say, well, you know, we had some male chauvinist stuff in the comics, so we got to do that if they're from the 60s. Like, no, we don't need to do any Mad Men nonsense where we try to show what it is and then we show how Sue, you know, overcomes that. We don't need none of that stuff. None of that stuff needs to be in there. That's why I don't, if they want to do that, the hard part is that anytime you try to go to that period, you need to immediately go to male-female dynamics. But if you go to the TV shows and the movies, you know, like the females weren't just like just, you know, you could say some places, but like as far as like Leave It to Beaver, they had them being active parts of the thing. So, and they didn't deal with someone just telling you, stay home, Sue, that sort of thing. There was a period where Reed was saying that when she was pregnant, but at the same time, you know, that would make more sense because she was pregnant. They wouldn't want to have her out there fighting supervillains all the time, that sort of stuff. So I get it. Yes, it's definitely retro. And I just fear that too much of the retro thing will come out of the Reed and Sue relationship, try to show him as being a male chauvinist because there were some moments where he had the chastiser for they're fighting the Inhumans or they're going to fight the Seekers in the Inhumans. And Sue stops and said, you didn't look at my hair. And he's like, Sue, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's a domineering moment. And it's just like, no, at times they were guys, they were like in their 40s from the old school. They had done some things to make Sue proactive, but then they still wanted to remind you that she was a girl. So they just had these moments and they're from the old school. You can't expect everything to be perfect, but it's like, that's what I worry about, the chauvinism part, trying to creep in to establish they're from a time from the past, which is unnecessary.
But there's nothing chauvinistic about that. Okay, especially not if you're dealing with characters. Okay, if you're dealing with characters, and this is how this character is, at least initially, the character may not stay the same. All right, so you can have those particular moments, and that's just the interaction between those characters. We don't expect that Johnny, okay, as a teenager, is going to be the same guy at 75. But nobody's going to take Reed to task for chastising Johnny if Johnny was like, wait a second, I got to get my dude together. They'd be like, come on, Johnny, focus. Hey, you didn't say anything about my hair, Reed. Oh, come on, focus. How dare you, you chauvinist pig? That's just more of the modern thing where it's like, no, we can't correct women. Okay, we can't correct women for any reason. Okay, don't do that. If you do that, you're absolutely wrong. So if they decide to go that route, that's them just shooting themselves in the foot. Otherwise, it's just, you know, that's just characterization, and you've got to go with it. Okay, this person right over here in this moment is more concerned about this for whatever reason, and you can explain it, but, you know, it shouldn't have to be to the point where, like, oh, no, you know, this is off limits. No. Totally disagree with that.
Cal, what do you think of the fact that they're going to skip the origin and just jump straight into them having their powers?
Hey, go for it.
Well, I would say the part that would be interesting to show.
They're all too old anyway. I said they're all too old for an origin story, so I couldn't see them all like, oh, we just got these powers yesterday. Like, no, not with the age that they're deciding to start with. So,
I think as far as comic fans, the comic fans have struggled with the FF origin and the people flying in space, even though all the X-Men from Wolverine to Kitty Pride, none of the Storm, none of those characters are space worthy, but the comic fans have been struggling with the FF going up into space, which is for the time period, it was almost as close to the FF origin in the Twilight Zone, where family, they need to get off the planet and they need to go to another planet, and they just sort of sneak in, like the whole same bit, the family all sneak in and they go on this rocket ship. So however you need to get them on there, but the thing of it is, there's so many stories now talking about the struggles of getting into space. So comic fans sat around and saying, oh, Reed going into space, that's not realistic. Every story is someone struggling to get into space, or something going wrong, and this, that, and the other. Like they have, was it from Earth to, like, not, was it, they had something on Apple, was it Apple Plus or something like that? they have a bunch of stories where they had the hidden figures, like they're all dealing with the little bit of struggles that could keep you a hair off, that could keep you in space. But comics fans have been struggling with, oh, they wouldn't go up in a rocket ship that had some issues with it. The whole struggle of the space program is things not going right. So I think if they have so many storylines doing that, I don't think, even if they don't do the origin, not to be worried about that, to say, oh, we can't have them make mistakes when the whole, there's a ton of the whole space genres, things going wrong, the Martian, and all of that stuff. So.
Well, we know how comic book fans are, because comic book fans have seen this origin more times than they probably can count. They grew older, they dissect everything, forgetting that it's fiction. Okay, forgetting that the time period was, and then it becomes, okay, so what's supposed to happen? Oh no, we're gonna perfect the origin somehow where they get their powers, and then no, the whole idea with the spaceship and the cosmic rays, that was so these guys could get their powers to the Fantastic Four, and they're off to the races. It's not Krypton. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not Krypton at the end of the day, where you gotta have all this extra justification for it. And, you know, it's not Asgard. You know, it's literally, we just need these guys to go up in a spaceship, get hit by the cosmic rays, and come back. That's it. You're reading too much into it. It's like, oh, well, the shielding would, you know, no, they would never. I'm like, no. But that's typical comic. That is just typical comic stuff. Typical comic reader where they have been around these characters too long. They've got nothing else. They've got it. I don't know why people always go for the deconstruction and the dissection, you know, of the characters. Not analysis, but, you know, taking it apart. Just taking it apart and then somehow saying we can put it back together again better than what we had. And like, no, you can't. Because this was a hit in the form that it was. You're not going to do anything to perfect it.
Well, the other thing with the origin is so many, like, that's the thing when seeing them, you know, comic books, movies not do the origin, like Iron Man has the origin. So all the elements, him getting captured, him, the person who came up with some of the ideas, he dies, him making the armor, is getting back to that aspect of the thing and not being able to have those moments with the Hulk. But you can watch the story, was it Space Age, or watch Indiana Jones and the Crystal, was it the Crystal Skull, where you had the opening on the nuclear atomic blast. So if they had the Hulk origin, we have Bruce Banner at an atomic blast or whatever new form of blast that is, and have him, whatever you have to do to save Rick, have him there, have Igor looking through the glasses and that, so then get those classic shots in, and then have Bruce Banner in the thing with a big, huge explosion, and you see him screaming, and then next, you know, the next cut is him in the hospital still screaming. Like, that line in the comic book still resonates, that you see him in the explosion, and then it's like he's been screaming for like hours. It's like when they finally get him out of there, he's still screaming. So it's just like, that aspect would be so powerful. And going back to the Fantastic Four, them sneaking into it and getting into that sort of thing and figuring this thing out and flying off, that's just so strong a visual. Like, I think Byrne, when he did it, where they were dreaming of their origin. They you know, Dr. Doom had put them on Littleville and they didn't know who they were. They thought they were just these ordinary people. And they keep dreaming their origin. And every time you see the origin, it just gets cooler. Them sneaking into the base and going in that stuff and getting those visuals of what you're worried about. You're not worried about trying to explain all this stuff. That's what I would miss. Even if it's just a short scene or something like that, you don't want to get into explaining, okay, how did they get into this? How does Sue and Johnny do this? It's like, no, it's just visual. It's just a strong visual. So I think even
they spend so much time worried about, you know, something like the origin, as opposed to like, well, how did they pull this? Hey, how did they pull off their latest feat? You know, how did they get out of this? How did they solve this problem? That's where your mind really needs to be at in terms of the adventure. And they're not focused on that. I do think that they had the right idea years ago when they said, look, guys, they cycle out of comics. Okay. 8 to 12, they're going to read DC. 12 to maybe 18, they'll read Marvel. And then they're going to go on to other stuff, and we'll get another, you know, we get the next group in, new, you know, next group of readers in. And so we just cycle up that. But once it became the long-term stuff, you know, you can see how difficult it is with for some of these guys to stay with the comic stories, because they're asking for more of serialized characters that can only change so much. They can only change so much because they've got to be in a certain shape for the next group of readers to come in. But it's hard for the next group of readers to come in because these guys don't want to. They don't want to leave. Number one, and they want. I want something that's different, but don't change anything. That sort of aspect. And then because they can't really get what they want, they like, let's go back to this. That doesn't make sense. These outfits are stupid. Here's what they need to do. Oh, you know what Reed should do? Reed should do an OnlyFans. Yeah, I would read that story.
That's those people spending all their time saying, hey, you can stretch. It's like, all right, we can't spend any time on that stuff. But there's a multitude of stories you can go to. This should be, if they're not getting the casting totally right, you got to get the stories right. And, you know, I've always talked about the costumes 3 million times, but the hard part in looking at this picture is also seeing Herbie there, you know, so you don't want them cut off from society and having this. The whole thing is, well, the hard part is that the FF was what made it work. And I think the Incredibles did this, all of their bits was to show them doing mundane things and with their, in be, having their powers. So you have them doing regular stuff, eating, all that stuff. And since everyone has done that in all of the comic books, that's one of the hooks of when Byrne was doing it, was he was having them interact with regular people. So there's a story where, I think it's the Ego story, which they kind of use for the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like Ben is at the bar of a friend of his that, when I guess he was in the war or something like that, and Ego like destroys everything and Ben saves the guy, and he's holding the guy and he's like, oh my God, Ben, you saved my life. And Ben is like, well, remember that next time you're watering down the drinks, like that sort of thing. We have them interacting with regular people and that sort of thing, so they feel like they're part of the public, because so many Marvel things have that mundane thing that you see in the, what's the name, but I just wanted, looking at what's the name, you don't want to do too much Rocky 3 where you had the robot in it, and like, you don't want to do that too much. It's cool having a nod to the Herbie, even though I hated Herbie in the cartoon. I know Kirby design, I have a Herbie thing right here somewhere. I got a Herbie thing, but the original design was cool. In practice in the cartoon, it really didn't work. So I don't know.
Who do you think is going to be the new villain for this thing? I mean, the rumor is it's going to be Galactus. Of course, it can't be Dr. Doom. He has to be a different level, but. I mean, they're talking about bringing in Galactus right away. I mean, the really big gun. What are you talking about?
It makes no sense. You could easily have them fight a Herald of Galactus and have a full movie rather than do with him. And they already did that with the second movie. Why don't you take one of the other? You got other. The Fantastic Four has a really great stable of villains. I don't see why you had. You know, Galactus is a trump card. There's no real reason to bring him in this early.
Thank you. Him and Dr. Doom shouldn't be touched at the moment. Right? Well, so who else can you do?
That's the thing. You can trick the audience, because at the same time, you can have Reed, because when they first did the Negative Zone, it was called Subspace. Now, the Negative Zone they did in the third movie is not what the Negative Zone could be. So you can start with Reed having something to do with Subspace, and he winds up in the Negative Zone, but then you have Annihilus. You can do, there's a ton, of, I mean, there's so many villains that you could do. It's just like, but in so many stories to try to take and try to figure out what is the best story to do. But go through the books, because they already got the Inhumans.
Go through the books, right?
Well, I'm saying, like, you want me to do? I could do it for you. I brought up Annihilus and have them.
That's going true. I'm just saying, you're telling the writers to go through the book. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To.
Okay. Yeah.
But then you should pick somebody else, right?
You don't want to put. You don't want to tack on. The problem is, you tack on Annihilus, right? And then you say, well, we need to find a reason. Whereas, okay, Earth is doing something that's causing Annihilus to come here. Molecule Man is another good one. He's a little extremely powerful in this kind of, they had to really like skate to get, you know, well, the crazy thing is I think there's a later story, which the Molecule Man is is not an actual man at that part. He's stuck in his staff. So he actually, this regular guy picks him up, this garbage man picks it up, and he becomes the Molecule Man and ready to go destroy the FF. And then when he goes and he almost destroys the FF, but Reed stops it. And then Reed was like, only thing left is this staff. And Sue was like, no. And Reed touches it and he becomes the Molecule Man. So it'll be, that would be a fun sort of thing, you know. Not the, I think the initial story, they kind of skated to get the figure away to get him out. But it's like there's a bunch of stories you can go to. As you mentioned the villain, I could, you know, think of a story that I would love to see. So yeah, just it's there's so much stuff here. I'm not that's thing. That's a Lin Wen, George Perez one. So it's like, hell, I just looked at that one recently. So. You have that sort of stuff. You have, man, it's, you know, the other hard part is not having, because they've done Doom in 3 movies and it was bad every time. It's just like, I really would need a great voice for Doom and a great mask and outfit for Doom. Now, there's a lot of models that have done great Dooms. So I really think to really try to get that not smooth metal for the mask. Like, we need to see a nice, really cool mask. And you know, that sort of thing. But you know, it could lead you to your next movie, you know, that sort of thing. So they created a ton. You're gonna make me go pull out the picture and try to figure out who would be the next one. But
no, yeah, you don't have to go through that. We can talk about that later. Any final words?
No, shut me up.
No, Cal, any final words? So we will.
I'm looking forward to seeing this movie, The Fantastic Four, first family of the Marvel Universe. Deserve proper recognition, respect. This, I mean, again, this is the beginning of the Marvel Universe without these stories. Okay, this is the first 2 years of the Marvel Universe. Without these stories, we don't have the Marvel Universe. Yes, people, even though everybody knows Spider-Man's the guy that, like, really pushed them over the top, the Marvel Universe that we love and enjoy does not exist without the Fantastic Four. And then, all of the other, I mean, you look at the other things that happened after the Fantastic Four in terms of the Avengers, Sergeant Fury, the X-Men, they're all in the same mode as the Fantastic Four. So I'm really looking forward to them getting this right. Please read the comics. Please. And then if they tell you don't read the comics, please don't listen to them and go read some comics. Okay? Oh. Because those things were successful. That's the thing that doesn't get me. The stuff that they're telling you not to look at, don't be influenced by it, it's been successful for decades. You know, you don't have to act exactly like Sue Storm. You don't got to necessarily be as grouchy as the thing is in the early issues. Nobody's telling you to do that, but at least understand the characters and why they resonated with their readership.
Thank you, Cal. So, hey, anything else before we wrapping it up?
It was a bit that I was just thinking about. Oh, man. Remember when... both times when Spider-Man met Johnny, Spider-Man was the D-bag. When he came and decided that he wanted to become a member of the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man was the one saying, I can get your top rate here. So he was the total D-bag when they first met. And then when they second met, Johnny was having a party with all the girls that loved him, and Spider-Man came and crashed it and was messing up, and then they got into this huge fight. And third to remember, because I know everyone is just like, well, I mean, in the was it Chris, what's his last name, who did play Captain America?
Yeah, played Johnny Storm.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans did a decent torch. Remember when Peter Parker gave up Spider-Man for a hot second, and Johnny was speaking to Midtown High. And he did some jokes, and he's like, he inspired Spider-Man to come back and be a superhero, and Spider-Man thanked him. So let's not immediately try to, you know, stilt it so Johnny's the douchebag and Spider-Man's the cool one. Because ultimately, that's where the fans went to, that Johnny was at, but we're forgetting that there were so many scenes when Spider-Man gave it up again. And he went to the team and was like, no, this guy is good. He's good. We've gotten in some battles. But at the same time, I believe in them, that sort of thing. And I think he did it late in the 2000s, like in around like 1999, he was asking, where is Spider-Man? So the guy, he can have some moments of being a hothead, but he's not a total all-around. He's more a hothead in this group less so outside of the group. So, you know, let's just remember that before we go and make him try to have a scene so Spider-Man looks good and Torch looks bad. So,
yeah. Well, I'm hoping that they're successful so they can finally make it onto the Marvel t-shirts.
That was good. That was good.
If you like what you say, comment, subscribe, give us a thumbs up. Spinnerack.
Out.
We're out.
Hold on before you ream us.